about 8 years since we were able to have a Good Friday service. It's hard to believe. So it was exciting to be able to have Good Friday and then to focus on the resurrection on Sunday. Usually on Sunday, we got to bring it back all together. But I would encourage you to join us this Sunday as well. God's doing some incredible things in his church, and it's just a witness of all the folks that are out here tonight to be with us. So we're looking this evening for just a little bit about how Good Friday was a surreal surrender. And in fact, when you step back, and not just Good Friday, not just what happened at the cross, but really everything is a surrender to a degree about what got us to this point. Judas surrenders Jesus to the chief priests. Just kind of start this part of the whole thing going. He surrenders Jesus over to the chief priests. The chief priests, after coming through Gethsemane, surrender Jesus over to be arrested by the Roman soldiers. So there's another surrender. And then on top of all that, Pontius Pilate surrenders Jesus over to the crowd and releases Barabbas. And we'll come back to that story or that part of the story in just a moment. But when you think about it, even for Pontius Pilate to surrender over Jesus, even his wife is saying, you want no parts of this deal. She says to him, she says, just this is something is wrong about this entire situation. Wash your hands of it. And he does. So everything about that evening, that day, is a surrender. Now, obviously, Jesus submits to the will of his Father. Jesus doesn't surrender like we surrender. But a lot of surrendering led up to this. And even the word surreal, it's, you know, sort of defined as unique or bizarre. Everything about this is bizarre. Everything about God becoming a man to come to earth is surreal, is unusual. Everything he had to come to earth and get involved in everything that he hated, which is sin. So God had to come to earth to almost engage up against the sin of the world. Everything that he stood against. And then Christ submits to his Father. And we're just gonna go over a couple points. And then you're going to see a powerful, powerful drama. It's sort of, the way I like to put it, it's a story of a what if that really happens. Because there's no story, we really don't hear much about Barabbas after this trade is made, if you will, for Pontius Pilate. But we don't know really what goes on, we don't see him. But we know there's a bit of Barabbas in all of us, and you're going to see a powerful drama that's going to touch on that. But let's just take a quick step backwards and say, how do we get here? And the first point does that. Christ submitted to the will of the Father so that we could surrender, right? Christ submitted to the will of his Father so that we could surrender our hearts to Jesus. Look with me in Luke 22:42. It's in your sermon notes. If you have your Bible, feel free to open it up. It says, Father, and we reference this in communion, just only a handful of verses away from our communion text. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. So for Jesus, he is God, he knows, but I sense this time of prayer, this time of opening up his heart to his Father, it's the complete revelation comes upon him, the complete realization hits him of what's actually going to happen here. He knew this, but I think praying and that deep sorrow that he has, that he's crying out, where he calls it in Matthew a cup of death, this deep sorrow, he knows he is in the final stages of his earthly mission. He understands that. He sees that realization, that revelation is right there for Jesus now. And he knows it. And he knew that he was at the point in this whole journey where his Father would have to look away, completely look away, and let all the pain, all the suffering, Let's go back to communion, the bread, the blood, the body. All that, he knew that we would he would do that. And he would do that so that we could surrender to him. If there was ever something that is a triumph and a tragedy at the same time, it's Good Friday. It's what happens to happen today, where there's a triumph and a tragedy happening simultaneously. And the triumph is for God, but it's for us. If we surrender. Jesus did his part. God sent his son, brought him to this earth. He died this horrible death. And now the next step in this surrender, we've seen some lessons learned in surrendering, getting up to this point, but the next surrender is us. It's our hearts. And I praise God that we talk about this a lot. And if you're here this evening and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, I've opened up my heart, I've prayed, I come to church, I like being here, I like being at the church I normally go to or whatever. There's a difference in liking to be a part of something and surrendering our heart and committing our life to change, to glorify God. Surrender is defined as kind of a willful acceptance, a yielding. And I pray this evening that this text, just the way the Holy Spirit's pouring out in everything that we're doing here, that you understand that there has to be a yielding. There has to be a surrender. And that sets up our second point. Christ surrendered to give us a peace that goes beyond all understanding. So obviously the resurrection, what we'll talk about Sunday, his death, what we're talking about tonight, that is, it gives us the eternity, knowing that we're going to spend eternity with him when we ask him into our heart. And nothing can compete with that or compare to that, I should say. But the power of the resurrection is for us to live our life here today. For all of us, it's not just like we're waiting till we go to eternity. We praise God for the confidence that we have. But I don't know about you, but I need the power of surrender, the power of the resurrection. I need it in my life today. I need to yield today. I mean, we yield and sort of stand down to people all the time. If you're a student in school, you yield to the teacher. If you're flying on an airplane, you trust and yield that the pilot knows what he's doing, or a physician. If you try to get on I-95 around Christiana or 141, you better yield. You better surrender. I better surrender. Isn't it funny how people always think people drive really bad? And you always think you drive really well, and the other person should yield and surrender. Well, in this story, we need to yield and surrender. That's what we need to understand. Christ surrendered to give us a peace that goes beyond all understanding. Philippians 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's resurrection power. That's power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left this earth, one of the last things he spoke to the disciples about was he said, I am leaving, but I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the comforter. And that the power of the Holy Spirit is here for us right now. You know, we tend to get into a rhythm in life sometimes where maybe we'll have a great day and then not so good of a day and then a really bad day and then a better day and then a great day and a really bad, bad day. And we kind of just begin to bounce off these days and weather them and work through them. But let me tell you, that's not resurrection power. That's not resurrection living. Resurrection living, understanding the power of what God's word says about being anxious, that means that, yeah, things don't go our way a lot. But we stand strong knowing that that same power of the cross, that same power of the resurrection is here for us to live and sustain our lives. Once you and I give our heart over to the Lord, it's not just hang on to this card until you die and then make sure you show it to somebody on the way out. It doesn't work that way. No, there's a resurrection power that is a part of our life each and every day. It's in our workplace, it's in our families, it's in our marriages, it's in our young people, it's in their schools, it's in our community. And we have to rely on that. We have to understand. That's why we can boldly say, I'm not anxious. I get worried. You can get worried. You can get concerned. But we don't have to be anxious because of the power of the cross. In God's word, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Remember when you were a kid, shadows kind of creep you out. They're scary. And you turn the light on, what happens? Shadow disappears. That resurrection power, that power of the cross, it's like, it is described as the light. It's turning the light on in our lives. And that's what Jesus has for us tonight. So I pray, as we prepare to watch this powerful drama, you're going to see, boldly stated, kind of a story of what could have happened if. We know about Barabbas. It's a quick situation. But in this drama, think about after when Jesus is crucified. Think about Barabbas is now here. And when we think about it, but I love Barabbas is what Jesus would say to us. That is the title of this drama. But I love Barabbas.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper. What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is. But all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't
don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, "It's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas." For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father.
When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas. Even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, "I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out." What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, "Yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me." How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, "No, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it." Jesus seems to look at me, say, "No, son. Let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all." No! God, I say, "I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame." But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son." This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man. All the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If His blood is sufficient for your salvation, His blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
It's always been Jesus. Jesus is enough. God's love for Barabbas is just like His love for us. I don't know about you, but I, in my own mind, thought that sometimes, like, wow, how could God love somebody that's like that or done that? What I should be asking is, how can God love me? He saved this last point as the challenge for tonight. Christ surrendered so that we could also. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That text reads the same for you, for me, for Barabbas, for any of us. That is the same thing. That story is the same. And you and I can go through our whole life, and maybe we feel like we've gotten it, we've said it, we've stepped through this God's word, but maybe once and for all, we understand now what surrender means. What it means to understand that we are still sinners and that Christ died for us. And you might say, well, every time I love God, but all my plans go sideways. I love God, but nothing ever works out for me. I love God, but He never answers my prayer. And we can go through the but this, but that, our whole lives. But the only thing that matters is what mattered for Barabbas, is that He died for us. He died for each and every one of us. And you can spend your whole life trying to tap into what you think are God's plans, when really the thing that you need to do is tap out of your own self. Sometimes we do that. We try to live our life and ask Jesus to come alongside. When no, we've got to tap out of our plans and tap in to this love. This love that God demonstrated by sending His Son for us. So maybe it took the way God put together this word this evening, the drama, the time of worship. Maybe this is a new way of looking at Jesus for you. And I'll ask you tonight, do you understand what it means to surrender? Do you understand what it means to completely yield, completely give over our will? Again, Jesus demonstrated this in the garden when He thought through everything and He says, no, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. What an incredible illustration for us. And then we come to the communion table tonight and maybe we surrendered something before we remembered His death through the bread and the juice. But I ask you right now, as the Holy Spirit is just churning through our heart this evening, is there something that you might just want to surrender over to God? Maybe for the very first time, you're ready to say, no, I see it. I understand what it means. If in this drama, I can see Jesus loving Barabbas, I can see Jesus loving me. And I need that love. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this evening. we tend to judge God's love for us by our circumstances. We tend to step back and say, well, because of these things, God must not love me the way he does somebody else. God must not love me the way he loves this person or that person. But if we understand and think in our minds that God loves us the same, whether we're Barabbas or whoever we are, that's a love that will never fail. That's a love that will strengthen us here today, tonight, our time in this world, and because of the power of the resurrection, that gives us that strength to know where we're going to spend eternity. So I'm just going to ask you right now just to bow your heads, close your eyes. And Father God, as we've gathered as your church tonight, and we've witnessed a drama that demonstrates your love, we've looked at your word, we've come to the communion table on the day that represents your death. And Lord, we stack all that up, and we know it's you. We know, Father God, that it's the power of the cross, and that we can cry out without any doubt or any fear or apprehension and surrender to you. So, Father God, right now, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that would just like to surrender over their heart to you, and maybe once and for all in their heart and their mind, they can pray out to you and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Savior. I want you to be in my heart. I want to live a life that glorifies you. I want to live each and every day, no matter how well it goes, with that same power of the resurrection pouring through me, through your Holy Spirit. So, Father God, there may be some of us here this evening that for the first time, it's so clear, and we want to ask you into our heart. For others, Lord God, there might just be something that we just need to surrender. There's a part of my plan that I can't let go of. There's a part of my life that I keep trying to lead in parallel, step by step, with where Jesus has taken me. And once and for all, on this Good Friday of 2018, I want to say, it's over. I'm going to lead my life in a way that glorifies God, no matter where my plans go, no matter what my thoughts are, no matter what I think I deserve, no matter what I think somebody else shouldn't get. All that, Lord God, I'm going to put that aside tonight, and I'm going to start living a life, Lord God, that glorifies you. And right now, Lord God, if we just lift up our hand and say, there's something I'm going to surrender right now. And Lord, as my eyes are bowed, my eyes are closed, my head is bowed, I know, Lord God, throughout this auditorium, hands are lifted high. So, Father God, we praise you. We thank you. We boldly approach you this evening. And we ask you, Father God, to forgive us. Help us to yield to you. Help us to surrender. And help us, Lord God, when we've accepted you in our heart, help us, Lord, understand that means now we're your child, and we are going to live a life, Lord God, on this earth that glorifies you. We are going to live a life that opens up the gospel to people. We're going to live a life that changes lives for the kingdom. So, Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the power of the cross. We so look forward to Resurrection Sunday. We look forward to a celebration beyond any celebration. But right now, Lord God, we understand what your death has meant for us and who we are through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.